This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right, what is going on, everyone? Happy Saturday morning, and welcome into the first 2024-2025 edition of Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone with you for 3 hours, as always, 9 to noon. It's basketball season, DeVone. What's happening, my man?
What's going on with you? Good to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah, that's true. It's been a couple of weeks. I'm happy to see your face. I'm happy to see Cam Williams' face. He's been here working the graveyard shift because the Warriors have been kicking ass all through the night. I know everyone might have been preoccupied with the World Series, but quietly, the Warriors are 2-0. The Warriors are off to a nice little start to begin the season.
8-0 if you're going back to the preseason.
That's right. Well, I was going to say, because you know, we were tossing around a lot of different ideas about the Warriors and what they could be, what they can't be, and clearly they got a lot in front of them with 80 games left. But I guess, what did you make of the preseason? And do you feel like anything's really changed so far for you?
Oh, well, yeah, a lot of things have changed, clearly. This team just doesn't even look like... I don't even recognize this Warrior basketball team. It's very, very different. I think the big question is it sustainable? Can you do this over the course of the next 5 to 6 months? Can you do it for 82 games and go this deep into a roster? I don't know that it's ever been done before. You talked about the Warriors back in the day when they were winning titles with Rick Barry and company, but this is going to be a challenge. And I guess the question is this just for now? Is that what we're missing, that they're going deep for now, or is this really going to be the template going forward?
I mean, it seems like it's going to be the template moving forward. That's what Steve Kerr wants to do, wants to play 12. And I don't know. I wonder, Dan, yeah, I mean, but the big question is, how sustainable is it? Like, how realistic is it to think about a team that is going to play 12 dudes? You know, when you think about a typical postseason or playoff rotation, there's like 8-9 guys. I think a lot of teams don't have the ability to go 12 deep, but I'm just curious what fans have made of the first couple of games, and even going back to the preseason, does it reflect the 6-0 start to the preseason? I mean, do you take anything away from that? How sustainable are the Warriors right now? And of course, the phone lines are always open at 888-957-9570, also the number for the Comcast Business text line. But can the Warriors really run a 12-man rotation? I think that's what they're trying to answer. And I think first and foremost, the start that they've gotten off to, they're beating two, in my opinion, bottom feeders. They won at Portland, and then last night they killed the Jazz 127 to 86. Those are wins you need, but I think when you're playing, Dan, a lot of guys, a fast start is important because it builds buy-in. And I think they had buy-in from the preseason. You talk about, or you hear the kumbaya from new guys and Buddy Hield, who's been sensational in his first two games, DeAnthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, a lot of veterans who can come in. They got know-how. They know how to play. But I think in general, for the entire team, because when guys are getting inconsistent playing time or not getting a ton of minutes in general, you need to win early in order to justify the decisions that you're going to make as a coaching staff.
I'd agree. I think it's all feel good right now. But if I was to go down the roster, let me play a little game with you.
Yeah.
Was this Sesame Street? I think it was. Which one of these doesn't belong with the others? Was that? I believe it was.
Okay.
Do you remember Sesame Street? Or was that before?
I do. I do. My boy, Big Bird.
Yeah, exactly. So when I tell you about egos being checked at the door, and in order for this to work, you've got to, as you mentioned, buy in. That's the key clause into all of this. So when I go through this roster, when I go through the players that got double-digit minutes last night, and we talk about 12 deep, this is essentially the 12, and you tell me which one of these that you might have an issue with buy-in, accepting a role, recognizing that you have a limited role, you tell me which one of these could be problematic. Don't say anything until I'm done. Audience, are we ready?
Shh.
Cam, can we have some music, please? Can we have a little, which one of these doesn't belong with the others? No, Cam, you're good. Draymond Green, Jonathan Kuminga, Trace Jackson Davis, Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins, Brandon Podziemski, Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, Moses Moody, DeAnthony Melton, Kevon Looney, Gary Payton II, and Lindy Waters III. Of all of those players, which one of those would you associate with accepting a role, recognizing that they're a part-time player, and then maybe one that could be somewhat problematic?
Well, Lindy Waters is a problem child. I mean, that guy's not going to be able to handle coming off the bench. No, although I don't know if it was a Freudian slip by you, Devone, or whether it was just completely happenstance, but I think the first two guys you mentioned are the ones that you probably have some questions about.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
What do we have for the winner?
Jonathan Kuminga and Draymond Green.
Well, Draymond, I think, because he's a veteran, although Draymond's good, if it stays this way and he's getting 20 minutes, he just doesn't like to sit on the bench. But I think he recognizes, because he's so smart and he sees big picture, and especially with a guy that's in his mid-30s, that they'll be, quote-unquote, again, buy-in. Jonathan Kuminga, that could be an issue, because I think he's at a stage in his career where he's young enough, he wants the contract, he wants the bag, and he wants the ball, and he wants to show everyone that he can ball, and he wants to be on the floor. I'm not sure that, again, getting back to the operative phrase today, buy-in, could be an issue with Jonathan Kuminga going forward.
Well, moving into the season, like we did this exercise earlier in the week before the opener in Portland, like your five biggest questions about the Warriors. Would you say JK is your biggest question?
I'd say two games in, yes.
Okay, so preseason, I think any player that plays for a contract, if they haven't done it before, I have questions. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't do it. Doesn't mean that you're not unselfish. I just wonder how hard that must be for a player who's 22, who is coming off of a great season, who we still don't really know much about his game. He's not fully formed, but you have to make decisions based on what you've seen so far. I think how Jonathan Kuminga handles his first contract year in the NBA was my biggest question. And I think through two games, it's impossible to, you know, bring down an overarching statement on what his contract year is going to be. But there's already a couple things that you can tell, like, I was fascinated with the Steve Kerr decision to start Wiggins and Kuminga together. And I think it's interesting that of all the things that have happened for the Warriors, it feels like the thing with the biggest question is the starting lineup. And that also gives me some pause, because we talked a lot last year, Dan, about how good the bench was and about how players were able to help the non-Steph minutes. Well, at the end of the day, if your starting five is not very good, I don't know how you're going to compete with the top dogs. And through two games, it feels like, probably because of how good the rest of the team's been, the weakest part of this roster has been the first 5 minutes of the basketball game.
And upwards to 10 to 11 guys are playing in the first quarter.
Yeah, they played, well, because of the last 20 seconds, they snuck in a 12th man yesterday, but they played 11 in the first quarter against Portland. They played 12 against Utah. Like, Kerr's not BSing. Like, he's going to play a ton of dudes.
To your point, though, about the starting lineup, the question that I have, you're right, it's at the two spot. Because I don't know if we were all, who of us were considering Jonathan Kuminga? It was Pajemski, it was Moody, it was Buddy Hield. I guess Wiggins was in that conversation. But I do like it because they're taller. Defensively, you know, he can give you, he's more adept at guarding multiple players, whether it be at the two, the three, even the four. So he gives you height at that two spot. And Andrew Wiggins, this version of Andrew Wiggins you can buy. If there's going to be a change again in the starting five, you're right. It comes down to Wiggins playing with Kuminga. And it ain't going to be Wiggins. It'll be Wiggins switching to the three, back to his regular position, and then either Pajemski or Buddy Hield getting the two, and Jonathan Kuminga is going to be the odd man out. And as I look at the numbers last night, and really I think deep down those two sort of know it, although they'll publicly never admit it, but I think Kuminga and Wiggins know that they're both playing for their starting lives. And Kuminga last night in the 18 minutes, he gives you the 2 points, but the one rebound is something that you have to circle because it's been the Achilles heel, right, on this guy? And Wiggins, he had 13 boards last night.
Yeah, I think, look, as we move deeper into the show, I do think that that's naturally a conversation that's going to come up. What do they do about their two wings, if anything? I mean, the benefit that the Warriors are playing with right now is the fact that they're 2-0. And oh, by the way, they're plus 77. They've beaten teams by a combined 77 points, the most in NBA history, to start a season. So now they bludgeon the Portland Trailblazers, who seem disinterested with winning basketball games. I think the Utah Jazz, though Utah's a difficult place to play, they went down to the wire with Memphis in their opener. People were a little bit higher on them. I don't think they're very good. And in fact, one thing that I did write down last night about that Utah game, shame on anybody that thought that Lauri Markkanen was going to be the answer for this basketball team. Now, we found out that plan A was actually Paul George and Lauri Markkanen, which the Warriors would have had to invest basically every single one of their pieces or capital into. But I'm sorry, I never saw it with that guy. I don't.
You
still.
Sure about that? If I was to revisit these conversations, I could have sworn it was me against just a swath of people here at 95.7 The Game, that Lauri Markkanen was a mistake, Paul George was a mistake. Well, went as far as Kevin Durant being a mistake.
We differed on the George thing, but okay. That was more about getting a superstar. Lauri Markkanen is not a superstar.
No.
He's never played in the postseason. I'm sorry. For what the Warriors were going to have to give up, that was never going to be the... Like, he was...
And pay him.
He was not the missing piece.
Yeah, I agree.
And he may not still be the missing piece because they're not going to be able to go trade for him in a year. So they killed the Utah Jazz last night, and it's largely because of their second unit. Buddy Hield looks like a Klay Thompson replacement. I'm sorry. I do think a lot of it comes down to, along the lines of the marketing conversation, I just don't think a lot of people watch Utah basketball, and I can't really blame them. But I think the idea of these players creates what we think about their games and how they'll fit with the Warriors, who, of course, you and I watch a ton of. Buddy Hield is pretty unfamiliar with his game. I know he could fill it up, but he'd only played up until last season for bad teams. Last season, he was with Indiana. I thought it was a little suspect that they traded him and got better, ended up making a run to the conference finals. And then he basically got benched in Philadelphia up until they had no choice but to go to him in the postseason, and of course they got eliminated in the first round. So Buddy Hield was a bit of a wild card for me. I wasn't really sure what they were going to get from him. I don't know if he could defend. I don't know if he could pass. I don't know if he could do anything, but he could shoot.
Oh, no doubt.
That's all I care about, because what he does alongside Steph and has done, granted, for two games, he's not going to make 11 threes and shoot 60% every single week. But he could fill it up, man.
He can, but just, I don't want to throw water on everything here, but if you know Buddy Hield and if you follow Buddy Hield's career, there's another shoe that's going to drop, and he can get cold, and he can also go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
The other direction, where he can't throw it in the ocean. That's his Buddy Hield. But I would say primarily most shooters sort of live like that, right? But the thing about Buddy Hield, and sometimes it's just a matter of getting unlocked, right? Just to give you the football analogy, we talk about Sam Darnold. It's just about getting with the right system, getting with the right people. The reason why you always had sort of an inkling that this could work with someone like that of Buddy Hield is because typically, whether it's with Sacramento, whether it's Indiana, or whether it was with Philadelphia or the other teams that he's played with, when he's on the floor, Buddy Hield is doing one thing, and you're focused defensively on Buddy Hield shooting. Here with the Warriors, Steph Curry draws that crowd. And Buddy Hield has said as much, I've never had this many open looks. It's basically, bro, catch and shoot. We're going to reverse the basketball, and you're going to be standing on the wing. Just make your shot. He's really never had that sort of marching orders in his career. It's usually, here comes Buddy Hield. Well, we know what it is that he's going to do. He's going to shoot, so let's run two guys at him. Here, it's as though, obviously, you know, that gravitational pull towards Steph Curry and Buddy Hield, you're going to get an opportunity. He's making the most of it.
Well, yeah, right now everybody in the Warriors is making the most of their opportunities.
But can we just admit that he's not going to shoot 65% from three for the rest of the year?
Well, yeah, of course.
Of course. So this is going to level out at some point, fans.
But he's going to keep chucking.
No doubt.
I mean, that's what he does. In fact, I think the reason why he ended up getting benched in Philadelphia was because of one of those extended stretches where he could make a three for like eight straight games. Like, dude, we can't have you out there taking 10 shots a game if you're not going to be able to find net. And that's eventually going to come, but I do think that that's why the depth or the 12-man rotation that this team offers, Dan, is one that is built potentially to sustain some of those elongated stretches or cold stretches, not specifically from Buddy Hield, but from anybody, because Kerr has so many options. Right now, against those two teams, you could press any button, and I think that they generally work. Now, I don't know how well they work to produce basically two 40-point wins, but I think the Warriors, with how much depth they have, they're a little more injury-proof. I think they're more cold-streak-proof. And it also is going to be able to keep some of those veteran players, a la Curry and Draymond, I think, healthier throughout the entire season. And not just because Curry hasn't played in two straight fourth quarters. That's going to change. But over the course of 82 games, I do think it makes it easier for Steve Kerr to hit his mark with Curry, which is to play him 32 minutes a night. And then for Draymond, you know, his minutes are going to come down from where they've been in years past. If Draymond's playing 28 to 30 minutes a night, I think that's perfect for him because he still shows and has shown that he can be a defensive force. And I think that the starting lineup, actually, to get back to our first conversation, the starting lineup to me is less about Kuminga and Wiggins, although they'll have to figure that out. But it's about prioritizing the front line with Trayce Jackson-Davis and Draymond Green. And, you know, TJD last night, 6-for-6, 9 rebounds. Like, he's just going to clean up offensively, and then what he and Draymond can do defensively is really where I think the strength of this team lies. And what we saw down the stretch of last season, honestly.
Trayce Jackson-Davis, and I said this last year, has become my favorite Warrior. I love watching that guy play.
I know you do.
He's got great hands. He's smart. He's good around the basket.
He's got a chin strap now.
And what does that mean? Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I didn't notice. He's a baller, man. You got to like players like that. And he's young. That's the other thing. And not to say that I told you so, but damn it, I told you so. A year ago, I constantly was beating this drum that the Warriors had to get younger. And now what you're seeing that this team, it's a bunch of 20-year-olds, basically, that are at the heart of contributing. Trayce Jackson-Davis now getting minutes, Podziemski getting minutes, De'Anthony Melton's in his mid-20s. We know about Kuminga. We know about Moody. And these boys get up and down the floor. The worst thing, one of the glaring statistics that jumped out at the Warriors from a year ago is how bad they were in transitional defense. And that's just typical for a team that's old. Klay Thompson did not want it, and nor did Chris Paul. They're not turning their butts and running back the other way, and even if they are, they're getting beat up the floor. These guys can go. The energy is palpable. Would you know, if you were to ask me, Ev, what jumps out at you? That's it. It's like, look at these guys. There's the energy and the speed of this basketball team is so different from what it is that we've seen in years past.
Well, I think that's because they had an extended offseason. You know, it's funny. I think that the player who's probably looked the slowest, and it's because he's also 36, but might be Curry. It's because he played this summer. You know, he played a lot in the Olympics. He played a lot of basketball. Everyone else, they didn't have to worry about a postseason run. They got bounced in the play-in. And I think that's going to lead to a hot start. I feel like that's going to lead to a strong start for them because you're right. They do look well-rested. They do look faster. They look longer. They look younger. And it is as much about the personnel changes that they made this offseason, and credit to Mike Dunleavy Jr., as it is, they're fresh. It also seems like this team knows how to play together a bit more than last season. And we can get into the comments that Curry made after the Portland game in just a little bit about what a healthy ego is. You know, I don't know if it was much a shot at Klay Thompson as everybody was making it out to be, but I think the Warriors, this team has healthy egos. They want to compete. They obviously want their minutes, but winning basketball games is more important to them. And I think that was prevalent in the preseason. Not because you look, I mean, I think one of the games the Lakers didn't even play their top six guys. They played a Kings team who was, everyone's just trying to find themselves. But I do think that when you win as many games as they do in the preseason, what I took away from that was they're connected. They're more on the same page than the team across from them. Are they more talented? That's going to play out over 82 games. But they're more connected, and there seems to be more cohesiveness on this year's team than especially the last 2 years' teams. And really, the only question that I think they had coming into this year was about Kuminga's contract. And that's still up in the air, but there's so many less distractions that they have to deal with entering a season than they have the past two seasons.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Klay Thompson, and we don't want to kick dirt on this guy because everybody loves Klay.
He just made six threes in his first game.
That was fun. Yeah, and that's another guy like that of Buddy Hield, where you talk about gravitational pull. It's all, everybody's watching Luka. Everybody's watching Kyrie. And if you remember Dallas a year ago against Boston in the NBA Finals, they would reverse the ball and nobody could shoot. They didn't have that guy. Now it's Klay Thompson. I've never seen him that wide open for that many threes, and that's going to be his life in Dallas. It's a perfect fit. But what Dallas is going to find out, which the Warriors found out, is that transitional defense,
easy,
along with Luka and along with Kyrie, defense is going to pretty much determine just how far that team is going to go. But yeah, they're very good because Klay's in a perfect spot. But when you think about Klay, he doesn't fit in what this Warrior team is doing right now. Because the one guy that you talked about, healthy ego, Klay Thompson was always about himself. And that's not a bad thing, because that's the guy who scored 37 and a quarter. That's the guy we fell in love with. But Klay Thompson is very much about getting up my shots, making sure that, you know, I become that guy that he was aware of the headlines that he's Klay Thompson, and you shoot the three as well, if not better than anybody that's ever done it. You could always tell when he walked onto the court, though, I got one tonight. I hit my first two, feed me. And now you look at this team and it's all a bunch of role players. The question I want to get into, though, I think if you were really pull back the layers and get into this, and we can maybe do it after the break, I still think the big $50,000 question remains, and that is when Steph Curry comes off the floor, or should Steph, as you talked about, who's played so much basketball over the last year, go down with an injury, who is it? Who are we relying on, or have we been able to anoint or locate those players that you feel comfortable with that are going to pick up that scoring load? Or is it going to be 10 guys giving you 8 to 12 points? I think that's still, to me, that question hasn't been answered despite what it is that Buddy Hield's been able to do.
No, I don't think it's been answered either. And this idea that you're going to have six or seven guys in double digits every night, I don't necessarily buy it. Now, the one thing about Curry, and again, I think it kind of begs the question, and I'll just throw it out to our listeners at 888-957-9570. Warriors this week with Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone. How much stock are you putting into these first two games? How much stock are you buying in the Warriors based on what you've seen against a paltry Portland team and a Utah team that probably by midseason is going to wave the white flag, and I'm talking about Cooper. So how much stock are you taking from these two wins? Because you talked about Curry and looking for secondary options. In the first two games, Dan, he's shooting below 40%.
Yeah.
I mean, he's shooting 35% from three. He's averaging 18 points
Maybe
in 26 minutes.
Rephrase it, when Buddy Hield comes off the floor.
or when Buddy Hield eventually goes through one of his dry spells. Who is going to score for the Warriors? Because the first two games, the leading scorer has been Buddy Hield. He looks like he's playing at Oklahoma right now. But that's not always going to be the case. Where do the Warriors find that other scoring? Or maybe they don't need to. So again, how much stock are you taking in from these first two games? And I also think, are you really buying that the Warriors will be able to effectively run this 12-man rotation for an extended period of time? This is already coming in from the 949 on the Comcast Business Text Line. They look fast, strong, rested, and fun to watch. That last part, I think, is the biggest thing that's jumped out to me, and it also kind of leaked in from the preseason. They are fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Now, I realize they're winning and they're kicking ass against two teams that aren't supposed to be very good. They got the Clippers on Sunday. Next week, they play a New Orleans team that's pretty good. We'll get a better idea of who the Warriors are by the next time that you and I talk here on Warriors This Week. But overall, they do look like a more fun watch than last year, and I haven't really pinpointed why yet. But I think it has to do with the fact that they, I don't know, just as a whole, they feel freer.
I think It's because of the multiple faces that you're seeing. We've watched Warrior basketball, and this is pretty typical for just about every NBA basketball team. You go, what, maybe 8-9 deep? You know, the Warriors, when they were winning titles, we could count them. Like, we knew exactly what was going to happen. Livingston comes in at a certain time, Bogut, or as Festus Ezeli. You know, here comes Iguodala. And that was the rotation. Now, it's like three different teams. Now, it's like you've got three different starting lineups. And all of these guys are contributing. They're all basically role players right now. And again, I think what's really entertaining is the buy-in. That every one of these guys recognizes that they have a role and they're okay with their limited minutes, except for Jonathan Kuminga, who continues to be the problem child. And we'll stay on that throughout the entire show.
Oh, man.
Because we do need, I do think that has to be resolved. And I think he's playing his way out of that starting lineup, which might be the best thing for him. If Pajemski comes in at the two, or even Moody at the two, and you slide Wiggins down to the three, and now here comes Jonathan Kuminga, part of, because he's going to get just as many minutes coming off the bench as if he was a starter. And I think, you know what's fun about this is that you have to prove yourself. You don't have any set minutes. Like, you have to prove that you're worthy of staying on the floor. Otherwise, I'm not going to play you because I don't have to.
From the 510, the Comcast Business Text Line, this team last year could have found a way to lose one of those games. This year, they're fun and not so Steph hero ball. So far, that's true. But again, it's been two games. They've beaten the Portland Trail Blazers and the Utah Jazz last night by a combined 77 points. Most in NBA history and all the rest. I do think we got to dig deeper, though. And I do need some more time to figure out how good this team actually is. Because again, Dan, they got off to a 5-1 start last year. They were 6-2 to begin the year last year. Now, a lot of those were close wins. They weren't blowouts the way that they beat down two road opponents.
But they were better opponents.
They were better opponents. And we'll talk about that as we roll on Warriors this week. 888-957-9570. I see Austin and San Jose. We'll lead off with you on the other side. 888-957-9570. That's Dan DeVoe. My name is Evan Giddings. You're listening to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
He wants to drive on Wiggins. Pump fake. Nowhere to go. Locked up and stolen. Bad decision. Curry gets the loose ball. Beats healed. Lob. Kuminga climb the ladder, Jonathan. And he throws it down. Stops a 7-0 run.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings and Dan DeVoe, this is Warriors This Week, breaking down the Warriors' hot start to the season against the Portland Trail Blazers and the Utah Jazz. Cam was here last night, saw the 30-point blowout amidst an unbelievable World Series game.
Literally the hardest working man at 95.7 The Game.
Dude, did you know that he didn't even know he was going to be in this morning, got a call at the crack ass of dawn and was like, you know what, I'm going to be there for my boys. Shout out to Cam. Shout out to Big Cam. He's also, of course, our network coordinator for all Warriors games here on 95.7 The Game. So shout out to you, Cam. We are taking your calls.
Meanwhile, Jersey Ken just hung up on us, right?
Dude, I haven't seen him for 3 weeks since the Mets bit the dust.
He's done. Yeah. He's not getting out of bed.
No. We are going to keep it at the NBA. People are rolling in here on Warriors This Week. 888-957-9570. Someone, of course, taking a shot at Clay, someone taking a shot at Poole, someone taking a shot at Kuminga. All right, we're trying to sift through this thing, all right? How much stock are you taking from the Warriors' first two victories, 140-104 in Portland on Wednesday, and, of course, last night, 127-86 against the Utah Jazz? You want to go to one of our favorites, Dan?
Let's do it.
All right, Austin, in San Jose, start us off here on Warriors This Week. What's going on, my man? How are you feeling about the Warriors' first two games? Austin in San Jose.
Their travels, was it Madagascar or Mali, or was it someplace else in the world that you traveled back from? Just curious on that. But, I'm definitely excited, but I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on what I've seen. I think the opponents, a lot of bad basketball in the NBA. We're already seeing, with Portland and San Antonio. And so we have to be a little bit careful. Dan, and guys, I don't really buy the 12-man rotation. I don't think that's long-term something that is going to work, especially when you start playing the better teams. It's nice to see a bunch of guys playing, but I don't think that's a strategy that's going to work. My five would be putting Steph with Buddy. Please don't put Przemski in the starting lineup. That's a nightmare. I mean, I know that everybody thinks his game is great, but I think let's not overrate this guy. He strikes me as a guy that's kind of gimmicky, and I don't know that long-term you can put him in the starting lineup. I think Moody would step up before him, but I like Buddy playing with Steph. I like Buddy and Steph more together with Wiggins, Trey Stracks, and Davis, and, of course, Draymond. That would be my five. And then the backup team would be whatever you decide. But, yeah, let's pump the brakes a little bit. I got to see the first 15 or so games against competition to see how they do. And the last thing I was going to say is the finishing lineup is going to be important, too, because right now they've been blowing people out. But when it gets into tight games, who's going to be the finishing lineup? I don't like this. You know, we're going to the same thing. Kerr's kind of a little bit of concern over 2 years where Kerr doesn't seem to be able to find a lineup. And that's a little bit troubling. I know he's got all these choices and all these weapons, as you like to say, but at some point you got to decide on your five. And this whole notion that we can run 10, 12 guys out there, that's nice for college and high school, but I don't think that's going to work in the NBA. One more thing. The number two, Dan, you alluded to that. I think the thing with my guy Kuminga, this current way they're running is not conducive to Kuminga getting a long-term contract. I can see where I think they're going to trade Kuminga at deadline. It makes too much sense to try to trade Kuminga. But the key is to get everybody playing well so that these guys have value when you do trade them. So if JK can play enough to where another team thinks, hey, he's valued, that we can get something back for him. And we still have to find a number two if we want to be anywhere in the top five, six in the NBA, guys. I'll keep listening. Thanks again.
Thanks, Austin. No, look, he's not throwing cold water on the 2-0 start. I think he's a little cautious. You know, we haven't seen anything like this before. And playing 12 guys, I mean, well, you talked about it. You've never seen it in your years of watching an NBA.
I want to say there was a Sacramento team back in the day with Chris Webber, Peja Stojakovic, and those boys that went like 11 deep. I was looking this up. I also think there was a might have been a Portland team in 2000 that was going like 10, 11 deep, and they were really, really good. That was with Sabonis Senior and all those, and Detlef Schrempf and those guys. So, but it's very, very rare. It's very rare. So it's, you know what it's really difficult to do? As a coach, you got to coach your ass off every single night and keep track of all of these guys and making sure that they get run, you know, that they're content and that they're filling a role and a purpose while being on the floor. Just really quick, back to Austin's point. As far as Buddy Hield getting into the starting lineup, I'd like to get your thoughts, but I think he's perfectly suited as a sixth man. Like, that's what the sixth man looks like. Like a Lou Williams, you know? Like Jamal Crawford. Like, those are the guys you covet. I think he's perfect right where he's at. To me, the number two comes down to either Moody or Przemski. If you're going to slide Wiggins down to the three, if Kuminga continues to play himself out of that starting five.
I would personally lean Moody or Melton instead of Pods. Also, I mean,
I forgot about Melton because there's so many of these
so
guys.
Many of these guys. It's not that I'm down on Pods maybe as much as Austin is, but I also, from what I've seen so far, it does feel like there's not another player that Kerr feels comfortable running the second unit with or through. And Przemski, though, he's never going to be a 20-point-per-game scorer in the NBA, I don't think. But he does connect a lot of different lineups.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of the dirty work. And I think he's perfectly suited to play with whoever is coming off the bench. The heel point, I think, is I completely agree with. I don't want Buddy Hield in the starting lineup, not because I don't think he can play alongside Steph, but because I think Buddy Hield, and this is kind of my macro takeaway from what I've seen through six preseason games and two early ridiculous shooting performances, that's what the Warriors needed from Klay Thompson.
Yes.
That's what they needed Klay to be last year. They needed to be a guy that was willing to sacrifice and come off the bench, not change how he plays the game, not change how aggressive he was in shooting the basketball, but being willing to take a step back as far as minutes and as far as pride, and he couldn't do it. That's why I think overall, the Buddy Hield for Klay Thompson swap, I'm not sure Buddy Hield's a better player than Klay Thompson, but that was a situation that was perfect for both teams. It was a perfect swap with Klay Thompson going to Dallas. He gets to still start. He gets to play easy basketball alongside Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, and he doesn't have to be in the limelight. So he gets what he wants. Meanwhile, Buddy Hield comes into the Warriors. He can be the sixth man gunner. That is really what he's always been. Even when he's started, he's been a gunner. And so when Buddy Hield has those kind of nights like he has the prior two against Portland and Utah, you benefit and you can run away with that game. If, and eventually when, he goes on a cold streak and he's not shooting 60% from three-point range anymore, he doesn't kill you when he's playing 20 to 25 minutes or less per night. That was never going to happen with Klay Thompson because Klay was going to continue to shoot and Klay was going to continue to also, I think, be used by Kerr. So to me, the swap by the Warriors, Buddy Hield for Klay Thompson, it's not an indictment on Klay's game, but what it is, it's a perfect match for both sides. And so I don't think Buddy Hield should be in the starting lineup. I think they should continue to use him how he's been used, which is a sixth-man shooter and a guy that can come in and play alongside a lot of different people.
He's the quintessential sixth man. That's what you want, is a guy that's just going to come in and light a fire. It's exactly the perfect role for him right now. And again, there's going to be nights when he's not going to shoot it well. That's just been Buddy Hield. And I would say that's applicable to any guy who lives and dies and makes a name for himself from behind the stripe. And when you think about, you know, Klay Thompson and the comparison, it's just Klay Thompson just got old. And it's not that Klay Thompson can't shoot. He's at a perfect, perfect fit. I mean, again, think about Dallas last year.
It was just time.
Dallas last year in the NBA Finals, everybody was glommed on to two guys, Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. So they would reverse the ball, and there would be Josh Green. That was the guy's name. Josh Green would be your shooter. And now you replace guys like Josh Green for Klay Thompson, and he's perfectly, perfectly suited just to get out of bed in Dallas and shoot that three because it's going to be there all night. It's a perfect situation. The thing with Klay Thompson and why it got old with the Warriors, it wasn't his shooting, because he still can do that, although I would maintain that Klay had a hard time sustaining his hot shooting through four quarters. Usually he was done in the first quarter, or usually he'd get hot in a quarter, but he wasn't very consistent throughout the entire game. But that aside, it's he can no longer play transitional defense. And when I talked about the Warriors being old a year ago, typically, and more specifically, I was talking about two guys, and it was Chris Paul and it was Klay Thompson. After those injuries, he just was not the same guy, where he was once the best two-way player in the game, and he became a glaring weakness when you talk about that team trying to get back defensively. And now, you just replaced him with a bunch of horses, man. Guys who just go. And that, to me, once again, is what jumps off the page when I watch the Warriors right now. And that is that they just look younger, spry, fast, and energetic.
888-957-9570 is the number. This is Warriors This Week all year long. Every Saturday, 9 to noon, we'll have you locked here on the best Warriors coverage in the Bay on 95.7 The Game. Dan DeVone, Evan Giddings, Cameron Williams on the board with us. Let's go down to San Jose. Talk to our guy, Robert, wants to get in on the conversation. What's up, Rob? How we doing?
Pretty good. Just unfortunately working today like you guys.
We're all in it together, my man.
Yes. You know, if the Warriors had just barely won these last two games, people would be screaming their heads off, wondering what's going on. They blow these two poor teams out, and people are still wondering what's going on, how much stock you put into it. A good team is supposed to blow poor teams off the court, and that's what the Warriors have done. Let's just relax and enjoy the season. We don't have to figure out what the hell is going to be going on come next April. Right now in October, just relax, enjoy the games, and let's see where things play out. In terms of the 10-man rotation or 12-man rotation, I guess most of your callers are 40 and under or something like that, because I remember Al Addles in 1975, the first championship team, the Warriors ran 10 or 11 out there every night, and it didn't seem like it hurt them. So it's been done before. It's not like this is unprecedented. In terms of Austin and San Jose, I don't know what his issue is, but Brandon Krzemski, he said some of the same things last year. The young man can play ball. He is a baller. Just
accept it. I don't know if it's a racial issue, him, or what's going on. But Pajinski can play. Just let him do his thing. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Robert. I think a lot of people with pods, it's not necessarily that they think he stinks, but I think because of how quickly he was elevated in the Warriors hierarchy, people wonder how good he actually is and how good he can become. You know, again, it's about projecting a lot of these young guys. It's the same conversation we're having with Kuminga. And whether you like it or not, I don't think we're going to have enough of a sample size, even by the end of this season or the deadline, if they decide to move him, to make a declaration of who Jonathan Kuminga is. But the fact of the matter is you have to. And so people, I think, know a little more about who Pods is, and that makes them feel comfortable with their game. Meanwhile, Kuminga, he could be someone that, I don't know, transforms into a 25-point-per-game score, or it could just be an empty calories guy on a bad basketball team. I'm not so sure yet because, well, really, I also don't think that the way that the Warriors have set up the beginning of this season, it's conducive to his skill set. Playing alongside Wiggins, I do think, Dan, they're eventually going to have to make a choice between those two guys. And as much as we talked about it last year, I have not been a big fan of the way that Wiggins played the past two seasons, but I also think if you're choosing between those two guys for this specific team, it's probably Wiggs.
Yeah, first things with Pajemski, I understand sort of the questioning and or a lot of people not on board with how Pajemski, and I don't know if it's racially motivated. I don't think that's what's going on here. I think it's more along the lines of, well, why does this guy get an opportunity to start in his rookie year? Meanwhile, two guys who came out of the lottery, that being Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, still are vying for playing time last year. Yet here comes Pajemski, a guy out of Santa Clara, and now suddenly he seems to be like the teacher's pet. I think there's some of that going on here. And I think what you have to realize about Pajemski, I'm with you now that I think about it, he is a guy that sort of is a calming influence coming off the bench. I don't like him as a starter because all of a sudden you seem sort of diminutive and a little bit smaller in the backcourt. Moody seems as though he can guard multiple players in multiple positions. He gives you length. Same thing with Andrew Wiggins. Even DeAnthony Melton is a longer sort of player, even though he has about maybe the same size in terms of height like that of Pajemski. But I don't know, Pajemski and Steph Curry, they just seem like a small backcourt. I like him coming off the bench, and I do think that he has sort of what Chris Paul provided a year ago. And that is a guy that's going to connect and balance the floor.
Well, I also think he made more sense sometimes starting for last year's team because of Clay. I mean, Clay wasn't a guy that I think could, like, he was more of a three, in my opinion. So you naturally needed someone at the two. Wiggins wasn't playing that well last year. And Kuminga's, I mean, in my opinion, more of a four. So I think there was just more of an opening at that spot that allowed him to play and start as much as he did. I actually think for this year's team, he's perfect coming off the bench because if you are going to play 12 guys, well, then you need someone that can play with seven dudes beyond the starting five. And I think Pajemski is able to do that. Is he the perfect player? No, but he has know-how, and I think he just has a feel that is valuable for what this iteration of the Warriors are. So would I like him in the starting lineup? He could probably do it. He could probably play in the starting lineup. But I think his skill set is better suited for playing with a multitude of dudes, which it looks like Kerr's going to try and feature this season.
The thing about Pajemski, he's one of those guys that when you watch a Warrior game and the ball's in his hands, you just feel secure. Even though he's so young, you feel as though he's going to, more often than not, make the right play. Like, he's going to find the right guy, and he's going to distribute or take his shot, but usually he's going to do... He's a smart basketball player, and you win at the end of the day with guys like that. Getting back to Wiggins and the Jonathan Kuminga scenario, because I think that this room isn't big enough for the two of them. Somebody's got to leave, and it ain't Andrew Wiggins. But Andrew Wiggins really becomes sort of the X factor going forward, because the question is not only are we buying the Warriors, like, is this sustainable, but I'll just take it a step further. Is this version of Andrew Wiggins sustainable? Like, I like this Andrew Wiggins. This Andrew Wiggins, who, by the way, came into camp, he looks like he put on a good 10 to 15 pounds of pure muscle. But this Andrew Wiggins bought in a tenth of what? You know, with me,
25 pounds?
No, it's 15. No, 10 to 15.
I haven't noticed much about him.
He looks bigger.
He's active. By the way, all right, so, you know, career high, 13 rebounds. Still is a problem at the cup.
Well, that's where he got a lot of those rebounds.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The 13 rebounds are a little, I don't know. Sorry,
well, can we say he at least got seven on his own, six that were legit?
Sure. Well, yeah, we'll give him credit for six or seven.
Boy, you are so down on Wiggins.
No, he's playing well, man. I just want to pump the brakes because, and look, I think everybody, we do this a lot in sports, right? Like, I'm right, you're wrong. Look, this guy was this. I think a lot of people have been waiting to take a two-year victory lap on Andrew Wiggins, and I'm with you. I would like to see more from him before I believe that he's back.
Well, this version of Wiggins, when he's energized, you can win with. But as we have seen, he has a strong tendency to sort of disappear. And not necessarily because of a personal leave where he physically disappears and leaves the team like he's done the last 2 years. But while he's on the floor, he can become sort of an enigma and lethargic and somebody that disappears and play 18 to 20 minutes and you didn't even know he was out there. He has a tendency to do that going back to his days with Minnesota. This version of Andrew Wiggins, you can win with. And he really becomes a key for the Golden State Warriors because he's one of those guys that you mentioned. When if Buddy Hield doesn't have it going and Steph Curry's off the floor, well, you're looking to Andrew Wiggins to give you those consistent big numbers. And hopefully he's going to give you the 18 to 20 points a night. And if Jonathan Kuminga is not going to be Jonathan Kuminga and he stays in this funk, then the emergence and this renewed version of Andrew Wiggins, as we've all seen, we've been teased before. We're just, you know, Andrew, can you do this throughout the course of the entire season becomes the question.
Well, that's why I feel like once the Warriors start to play better teams, they're eventually going to have to make a choice about the two wings in their starting lineup, because if we are to identify a weakness, and there haven't been many, it's been the first 6 minutes of basketball games. They were down to Portland, they were down to Utah for the better part of the first 5 minutes, and, you know, look, you're going to come out and miss shots and all the rest, but I just find it interesting that the Kuminga-Wiggins pairing, I don't know, when you watch them play together, I think they have similar mindsets. They obviously both want the ball, and the ball kind of sticks when it's in their hands. Now, I like that the five on the floor to start games and maybe to close games once they get into closer contests with other better teams. I do like how they have a defensive mindset. Those five, I think that's their best defensive five that they can feature. And it's because even if someone gets by Wiggins or gets by Kuminga, when you have Draymond and TJD on the back line, it makes things so much easier. Also, same for Curry, if he's, you know, not as great of a defender as he once was. And, you know, I don't think he's a great defender in general, but it allows those three players on the perimeter to play a bit more freely. And last year, when either Draymond was at the five, or even early in the season when Looney was there, I think Looney looks like, talk about a guy that's in better shape. Looney, yeah. I mean, he's gone the opposite direction as apparently Wiggins. He's
intermittent fasting.
Is that what it is?
That's what he did.
Oh, he stopped eating for 12 hours a day?
I think it's like 16 to 18, but whatever.
Oh, boy. Well, Looney looks like he's in a lot better shape. But last year when he was a bit slower, it just, I don't know, they would just get diced up on the inside. And so now I think it allows those three perimeter players in the starting lineup to get to the three-point line, to close out better, and not have to worry about who's behind them getting cooked.
So before we get to the break, I just want somebody, you mentioned the 1975 Golden State Warriors. One of the callers brought up the Warriors from 75 and making some sort of comparisons that Al Addle's team also went similarly this deep. I'm just going to read off the roster. For those of you that want to get nostalgic and remember these guys, this was a young Rick Barry.
Well, I wasn't alive, but I'm aware of what they did.
Butch Beard, Steve Bracy. There was Derek Dickey, Charles Dudley, Charles Johnson, George Johnson, Jeff Mullen, Clifford Ray, Phil Smith, Jamal Wilkes, and apparently all of them got a lot of run, got a lot of playing time.
So. They don't make sports names like they used to. The olden sports names are the best, and we need someone to, I don't know, just start naming their children like they're from the boomer generation.
Butch Beard.
Keep going.
Charles Dudley. Bracy.
Steve Bracy. Bracy's a great name.
George Johnson. Jeff Mullins. Clifford Ray.
George Johnson. Yeah, you don't run
Phil
to
Smith. So Phil Smith went to USF. And I remember when I was a child, Phil Smith was playing, and his dad used to drive the number 22. For those of you from San Francisco, know the 22 is the Fillmore bus, and his old man used to drive me to school. I used to get on the 22 and take it to school out in Pacific Heights, and there would be Phil Smith Sr. driving the bus, and I was a little kid, and I'd say, you know, boy, your son played well. He's like, yeah, he had his jump shot going last night. I had this little conversation with him. I used to get so excited to see Phil Smith Sr. conducting the number 22 Fillmore as little Danny DeVoe went to school and learned nothing.
Well, you're almost you're able to learn something. I mean, I seem to learn something from you every single time we work together.
Me and big Mr. Chickering went to Stuart Hall, and you talk about parents throwing, you know, $25,000 a year down the drain. My God.
Real quick before we hit the break, I'm just looking at that season. Earl the Pearl Monroe, Nate Tiny Archibald, Elvin Hayes. Fred Carter. Dude, who's this guy from Detroit I'm looking at right now? Dave Bing. I mean, you don't see like... God love D'Anthony Melton. You know, God love Brandon Pajemski. Not enough zest. Not enough original zest behind those names. I don't know. Maybe I'm just an old school cat. But again, the question we're trying to figure out right now, number one, is this 12-man rotation sustainable for the Golden State Warriors? Are you taking stock from the first two games? Are you taking stock from the 8 games that we've seen so far? 6 in the preseason, 2 in the regular season. They haven't lost one. And these first two games in the regular season, though they've played Portland and Utah, they've absolutely blown out their opponent. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's Dan DeBow. My name is Evan Giddings. We roll on Warriors this week after this on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.